In a bombshell development, buried deep in the House Armed Services Committee's draft for the Fiscal Year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act, Section 224 establishes the so-called United States-Israel Defense Technology Cooperation Initiative. It demands the Secretary of Defense appoint a dedicated executive agent to synchronize U.S. and Israeli efforts across artificial intelligence, cyber operations, biotechnology, quantum computing, autonomous systems, directed energy weapons, and missile tech. This isn't a partnership. It's a technocratic fusion with calls for bilateral R&D, co-production of weapons, joint ventures, licensing deals, network integration, and full data fusion. American military secrets could soon flow directly to the IDF. This initiative builds on decades of over $200 billion in U.S. taxpayer support to Israel, but takes it to unprecedented levels by embedding Israeli influence directly into the Pentagon's decision-making and industrial base, creating co-production facilities on U.S. soil, generating jobs that lock in congressional support while handing Israel leverage over American defense priorities. Data sharing and network integration raise massive red flags for espionage risks and the loss of strategic autonomy. Transparent American oversight would be a relic of the past.
They're taking it off budget and nesting it inside the classified ledgers of the Pentagon, which last time I checked, if you add it all up, there's over $15 trillion been stolen or disappeared starting in the mid-1990s until now. And of course, they just failed their audit again. In it, and I've got the subsections here, it says that Israel's funding and military operations will just go into the classified divisions of the Pentagon, and then through those mechanisms, you don't even know how much money they're going to get. And they're calling it partnership with Israel on weapons and so and security so and intelligence. So that's why Netanyahu's like, hey, we want to wean ourselves off of Washington. Oh, Israel's going to get off our tit. Nope, sorry. Israel is going to literally slice us open and crawl inside our belly and just feed inside our stomach itself at point blank range. So Israel's not going to just be hanging off the hind tit now. Israel's going to, like a face sucker, plant an egg in our stomach, and then it just feeds inside our stomach till it grows up to a big enough level, and then boom, 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 punches its way out and comes out and says, here's Johnny.
As this technocratic fusion advances, it will further enforce Israel's reach into suppressing American dissent amid a wave of new laws and the outsized role of dual citizens in rewriting the rules of our Constitution. With anti-BDS measures already embedded in numerous state contracts and federal proposals, and broader efforts to equate criticism of Israeli policy with anti-Semitism gaining traction, this deepened military-industrial integration creates powerful new levers. What begins as cooperation risks becoming a framework where questioning Section 224 itself triggers accelerating the criminalization of dissent under the guise of national security. Most of us assumed America First meant no secret mergers, especially mergers undermining the military and the will of we the people. Section 224 must be ripped out of the 2027 NDAA post-haste. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network.
I want to thank the viewers and listeners for keeping us on air the last 32 years. You get all the credit, the word of mouth, the prayer, the support of us at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, InfoWars has been shut down, but we're now at the Alex Jones Network. But The Onion, financed by Bloomberg and the Democrats, is all over the news saying we're shut down, we're off the air, and that they successfully took over the company. That's not true. We're still fighting them in court. But the Alex Jones Network that I don't own, that they can't shut down, that's owned by Bigley, and our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, is financing the expansion, not just of the current shows, but bringing more shows on, more reporters, and really taking it to the globalists, and finishing up the big studios that are even better than the InfoWars studios. So I want to thank you all for your financial support at thealexjonesstore.com. But most importantly, let your whole email list, your text message list, everybody know. Post on X, post on...
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShow.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. We're talking about what's going on in the UK with Henry Nowak. And we'll show you some pretty incredible video out of the protest that was sparked today at the police station for the police responsible for Henry Nowak's death. We'll show you those videos and give you more context into all of this. Again, I didn't really expect to be spending so much time on this today, but the riot that's broken out is definitely worth spending time on. I do want to go to another video here momentarily. Clip 33 is from Savannah Hernandez, because related to the Henry Nowak stabbing is, of course, the Austin Metcalf stabbing. And the fact that Carmelo Anthony, a black guy, stabbed him to death for no reason and then was given $500,000 by the black community, despite there being absolutely no proof whatsoever it was anything other than a cold-blooded murder, which I think is worth reminding ourselves of sort of the cultural reality that we exist in. Well, Carmelo Anthony's trial has finally begun. Of course, Austin Metcalf died on the bleachers back then. In the meantime, his murderer has been able to graduate and go to prom and be a free man this entire time, as his family is given $500,000, bought a new house, bought some new cars, and then said they had no money and needed the lawyer to be paid for by the taxpayers. So I don't think, you know, the UK is really that much farther down the road than we are at this point. Here's Savannah Hernandez in Collin County, where the murderer of Austin Metcalf is now facing trial. Let's watch.
This is Savannah Hernandez in front of the Collin County Courthouse in McKinney, Texas, for day one of the Carmelo Anthony trial. Now, today and tomorrow is jury selection, and opening arguments for this trial are not until Thursday if the jury can be selected on time. Now, to give you guys an idea of what has already happened so far, this morning you had somebody who was kicked out of the courthouse for trying to film potential jurors, and you already had protesters here on behalf of both Austin Metcalf and Carmelo Anthony, with the protesters for Carmelo Anthony coming out in greater numbers. Now, some quick pointers on this trial. What is not being discussed is whether or not Carmelo Anthony actually murdered Austin Metcalf. He has already admitted to that, stating that he acted in self-defense. But what is being debated is whether or not Carmelo Anthony acted in self-defense or whether he committed murder. Now, interesting caveat as well, because Carmelo Anthony was only 17 years old when the killing occurred, he is ineligible for the death penalty. So even if he is found guilty, the maximum sentence that he's going to get is life in prison. Now, Carmelo Anthony is already facing a first-degree murder charge and was initially held on a $1 million bond that he did petition to get reduced to $250,000. He cited financial difficulties, and a Collin County judge ended up reducing that for him. So he has since been on house arrest and out on bond after being issued that. Now, a lot of the controversy in this case did surround the GoFundMe that was created by Carmelo Anthony's family. Now, the family raised over $500,000, and it was found out that they were living in a home that was almost $1 million. A neighbor alleged that they had bought a new vehicle, and a family spokesperson stated that they were going to be utilizing these funds for security, legal defense, and also for the fight against white supremacy, stating that the criticism, the harassment, and threats that Carmelo Anthony were receiving after the stabbing incident were a direct result of white supremacy and racism in the nation. Now, simultaneously, the Metcalf family was also dealing with quite a bit of harassment and threats as well, and they were swatted three separate times. Just to give you guys a reminder of what happened in the lead up to this case. Now, again, there have been extremely strict rules imposed on the media for this trial. And just to give you guys an idea of how secure they are trying to keep the courthouse grounds, the entire road behind me has been blocked off. They have specific places for protesters. There's also a strict curfew, and nobody can be on courthouse grounds from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. And law enforcement has also secured a separate entrance for Carmelo Anthony and his family to exit and enter the courtroom. So an idea of, again, not only the strict gag order that has been put in place by this judge, the strict media rules, but also the other levels of precaution that are being taken to ensure that everybody in the courthouse and around the courthouse is safe and protected. So keep following along all week, because I will be on the ground covering this trial. Keep following me for more updates.
Frontline TPUSA, that's Savannah Hernandez at Sav Says underscore on X. More protesters on Carmelo Anthony's side. There's no debate here. There was no fight. And frankly, I thought I remember there being cameras. So, you know, the question as to whether or not it was self-defense should be solved pretty quickly. And it wasn't self-defense, I'll tell you that right now. It's actually impossible to be self-defense because the kid was trespassing in the first place. But regardless, what do you say about, like, what do we say about that? You've got people going to support a murderer. Like, it's not a question about whether he's a murderer. It's not a question, really, about whether he was, quote-unquote, defending himself. They literally are just there to support somebody because he murdered white people. And that's the world that we live in. And at the same time that we have just despicable racists like that expressing themselves, you know, anti-white racists who are literally just like, yeah, we're here to support the murderer. We're here to support the murderer because we hated the kid. You've got them setting up barricades for the non-existent threat of the white supremacist attack that was never going to come in the first place. It's just truly insane. Truly insane. In the UK, if anything is worse, but not much, again, thousands march outside Southampton Police Station in honor of Henry Nowak, demanding police be held accountable. We just saw one video of just the sheer size of the crowd. Let's go to the B-roll video now. This is, again, the crowd. Before it got violent, before it broke out, they were chanting, I can't breathe. Of course, the exact same slogan from George Floyd, only it's not a slogan. It's just literally what they were saying. And again, here you can see just the sheer size of the crowd. Let's listen in.
The men for women, please. I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
You know what's interesting is how white this crowd is. There's a lot of white people in this crowd. You know what it looks like? It looks like a Black Lives Matter protest. Because white people will come out first. Do you see the point I'm making? Wouldn't you think that there would also be perhaps a sizable contingent of those lovely new British people, you know, the new Europeans, like the Jewish supremacists like to call them, the new Europeans that are in fact Arabic, that are in fact Pakistani or Bangladeshi? You know, if they're the new Europeans and they're just as European as anybody else, you'd expect one or two of them to accidentally stumble into a protest against the violent murder and cover up by the police. Because you understand, the mainstream media is not reporting on this. The mainstream media is ignoring this outright. I saw a comparison today. I thought I had it, but I didn't see it printed. New York Times has not published a single story about Henry Nowak. Do you know how many stories they published about George Floyd? 6,500. The New York Times published 6,500 stories about a career criminal overdosing on fentanyl. The university student walking home when attacked and murdered and then called a racist and arrested as he lay dying hasn't graced their page one single time. You think there's a racial political motivation behind that? And where do you think we would be if Elon Musk had not purchased Twitter? Do you think any of us would have heard this story at all? We certainly wouldn't have the video. We certainly wouldn't have the protests. Maybe we'd get a story or two in Daily Mail. And it would fade away with the rest of the stories about, you know, celebrities being embarrassed. But the mainstream media is not covering this. And they certainly are not laying out the argument, as they should be, that what happened to Henry Nowak is in fact a symptom of a societal problem that needs correction. We would have never heard Henry Nowak's name if not for Elon Musk buying X. This would have gone totally unremarked. And it's a beautiful thing that never again will the mainstream media and the police get to get away with this stuff scot-free, as they have up till now. Let's go to these next videos. So you see the size of the crowd. You can see that it was largely peaceful. In fact, entirely peaceful. And they were chanting, "I can't breathe." They were asking that the police take a knee. Now, of course, if you remember, or even if you don't, this did happen in 2020. In June 2020, exactly 6 years ago, the Metropolitan Police in the UK permitted officers to take the knee during Black Lives Matter protests as a personal choice. Several Met officers were photographed kneeling in solidarity with protesters outside Downing Street, a gesture originally popularized by Colin Kaepernick to protest police brutality and racism. So in 2020, when again, a career criminal in America overdoses on fentanyl, and for some reason, a bunch of black people in the UK decide it's a good excuse to tear down statues of Winston Churchill, and the UK government goes along with this and says it's an important thing and forget the lockdown. This is more important. Protesting non-existent racism that occurred in a country 3,000 miles away is more important than the lockdown that we're forcing on you to a degree that your grandmother has to die alone, not being hugged by her children, but instead peering at them through a slate of plexiglass. I don't know how much longer we can talk about all this stuff. And I really genuinely hope that this is a inflection point. I hoped that the protests last time were the inflection point. After all, that was a protest about several murdered little girls. And yet, when the British people started protesting and rioting about that, they were all sent to prison for years, even if all they did was post on Facebook. And they arrested so many people that they overcrowded the prisons, started letting murderers out to make room, and created an entirely new jury-free pipeline so the judges could jail as many protesters as they possibly could. They literally set up a temporary court system that would operate 24 hours a day so that they could imprison British people protesting day and night over the mass death that occurred as a direct consequence of the policies of the UK government. So let's go back. Let's watch this video from the beginning, the one that we just showed. But let's watch from the beginning, because you'll see it's the police that started. The police rush this crowd that is just standing there yelling things at them. Let's watch. There you go. And they rush and attack them with the shields. And so the crowd pushes back. Kind of reminiscent of January 6th, if you ask me. Peaceful protest, crowd just expressing themselves, even angrily, but expressing themselves peacefully, when the police decide to just slam a plexiglass shield into their face. And they're demanding the cops take a knee. And in fact, there were many cases, many instances during this riot, or during this protest, rather, that has since turned into a riot, where, yeah, a bunch of people were taking the knee, and the police completely ignored it, if not attacked the people who were taking a knee. So we can go to the next video now. We should go on to the next one. Go down the list. So if that was 36, this is 37. Let's watch.
The police are getting killed now.
So there's the police actually being driven back by the protesters.
The police are getting outnumbered now.
We need more of this. We need more of this. This is literally the only thing they understand. I'm not kidding.
A little bit of police brutality here now. Sorry, mate.
Look, they're getting them cornered now.
Balls are getting chucked in.
Yeah. No, this they will actually respond. But you can't let up. The problem is if you let up, then they just use facial recognition to identify everybody involved in this protest and arrest them one by one in the middle of the night. You have to keep the pressure up until they bend to your demands. That's the way this works. Here's the next video. In this, you actually see the police kneeing somebody in the head that they've arrested. Now, again, there. Look, kneeing the man in the head. Again, when George Floyd dies and a bunch of black people in the UK are ripping down statues and throwing them into the river, the police kneel. They kneel with them and they show them respect and concern. And then they change laws to train every police officer in the country to be more racist against white people. They make policy changes. They take a knee symbolically, literally. They comport themselves to the demands of the protesters when they're protesting something that is fake, 1,000 miles away, doesn't actually exist in America, but has even less to do with the UK. As long as your protest is utterly unmoored from reality, can never possibly change things in a positive direction, then you will not only be allowed to protest, you'll be allowed to burn things, you'll be allowed to destroy things, and the police will literally kneel before you as you do it. If, however, you're outraged that your government let in foreigners that don't belong, let them carry around giant knives, trained their police to take claims of racism as more important than claims of being stabbed, who then arrest a victim who dies in their custody because they refuse to even check if he was actually the victim of the crime, then they'll beat your ass and knee you in the head and haul you away and throw you to jail for 2 years. So look, might not be smart for me to call for violence, but I'm not. I'm just telling you, if you want to fix things, that's what's necessary. Right, I wouldn't tell you to commit violence. I am pointing out is the only viable strategy moving forward. Not random, chaotic violence against innocent people, directed, purposeful violence against the actual manifestation of the state and the people that made the decisions that have led to the consequences that you're now protesting. And again, you know, why do you think they don't go after Muslims? I mean, during the Southport riots, when they were creating this, you know, alternative court system to imprison the most number of people on speech crimes that they possibly could, there were mobs of Muslims literally wandering the streets with golf clubs and baseball bats, beating the crap out of any white person they found. We showed the videos. I mean, there were dozens of them showing up in restaurants where white people were just sitting out on the patio and literally attacking them. Police never showed up. I mean, there's video in one instance where a police officer stops a gang of Muslims who are wandering around with weapons and simply asks them to return the weapons to the mosque. Doesn't arrest them, doesn't confiscate the weapons, just says, go put the weapons back in the mosque. I mean, you can call it two-tier policing. I don't know what you call it. I just call it anarcho-tyranny. I just call it, you know, a humiliation ritual of a conquered people. Oh, we don't even have to go that far back. A month ago, two Jewish guys and a Muslim guy were stabbed by a crazy dude who clearly wasn't targeting them because they were Jewish. Neither one of them died, and yet you saw Keir Starmer give multiple speeches where he made it a center point, and he promised the Jewish people in the UK that they would not have to fear because everything that the government could do to guarantee their safety would be done. Everything they could possibly want will be provided for them. And they, and Keir Starmer himself expressed the deep personal shame he felt at allowing the innocent Jewish community to suffer under violence like this. When again, it was a random stabbing in which a Muslim person was also stabbed. And then the media would run headlines that would say two Jews stabbed in wherever. And then later, like down the period, it'd be like, also a Muslim guy was stabbed. They literally don't even mention the other. So again, white guy gets stabbed and it's Keir Starmer like, shut up, we don't care. The police will beat you. The police arrest you. Again, it's just, we can compare it all day. It just goes on and on. Let's go back to the video. This is what this protest has now devolved into. And you see them trying to leave, trying to, the police trying to get out. And yeah, so what's going to happen after this is the police are going to get reinforcements, right? They're going to come back like 300 strong. They're going to have horses. They're going to have cannons, water cannons or sound cannons. And they're going to disperse this with violence. And then they're going to systematically go through. And it might be a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now. But they will try, just like they did with the January 6th protesters, they'll do a sedition hunter operation to arrest all these people. Unless you win. Unless you keep the pressure up. Unless when the cops show up with their reinforcements, you send them packing too. Right? And again, I wish this wasn't the case. If it was up to me, then when the people of Europe vote to get rid of immigrants, then they would just get rid of immigrants. When they would protest and express outrage about the immigrants, then they would get rid of the immigrant. When the will of the people of Britain is expressed with such absolute certainty, then the British government would at least show them a modicum of concern and respect. But that's not the case. That's just not the case. And so now, what happens? I don't want this to be a replay of the Southport riots, but I'm afraid that's what it's going to be. And again, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable. And if there's one clear message being sent to the people of Europe by their governments, the people of the UK by the UK government, it is that they are going to stick to the policies that are destroying you no matter how you feel about it. They don't care. They don't care. Because they don't care about you, because they have no concern about the people of the UK. They have no concern about the people of Ireland. It doesn't take some sort of, philosophical, political, deep understanding for the simple human empathy that says, hey, if there's a little old lady that's lived in the same house for 80 years and she doesn't want 300 adult Arab men planted four streets away, it doesn't take a superhuman, it doesn't take a political genius, it doesn't take a right winger to have empathy for that person. It takes a left winger, a globalist, a psychopath, an anti-white scumbag to see that and think, grandma's evil and needs to be destroyed. She needs to be arrested and thrown into prison, and we're going to send the Garda to smash her in the face with a baton as we move in the men into her township. Talking is over. We should be done talking about any of this. When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd, and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body, as it is to all of our bodies, by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of today's program. More video coming out. The ongoing riots in the UK. I like this from Gammon Gazette. Says the left says you can't blame all Sikhs for killing Henry Nowak. You can't blame all Muslims for Islamic terrorist attacks. You can't blame all Pakistanis for grooming gangs. But all white people today are to blame for slavery in the 1800s. It's not, you know, something we've heard a bunch before, but I mean, we either need to have it one way or the other. And honestly, it's like, but for our own safety, you know, maybe collective punishment is the way to go. Obviously not throwing people in prison if they didn't commit a crime, but deporting them, certainly. If they're if you have you have 10 members of a foreign family, one of them kills your citizen, and then the rest of them helped cover it up. And then during the sentencing, your family yells out racist in the courtroom, accusing the judge of racism for sending you to jail, for sending your family member to jail for murdering somebody. Yeah, the whole family needs to go. The whole clan needs to go. The whole tribe needs to go. It's pretty simple. And maybe, just maybe, by treating this in a, you know, as a clan-wide phenomenon, maybe members of other clans will think, gee, my whole family's going to get sent back to Bangladesh if I get caught doing something bad. I better not get caught doing something bad. I better not do anything bad. It actually would be a, I think that'd actually be a pretty good way to dissuade people from committing these types of crimes. But you got to do something. You got to figure something out. And apparently things are devolving. We can go now to that clip. Nationalists and locals have gathered outside the Islamic sect cult in Crewe and are launching fireworks. This is the same cult that had members arrested on suspicion of child rape. Let's watch the fireworks here. So they're apparently setting off fireworks at this Islamic cult compound. Let's go to the video. Southampton Police Station. Protesters in Southampton are furious. They say, take the knee and pay your respects for Henry. This will be number 41. Clip 41 here. This is a very interesting exchange that begins with the protesters demanding the police take a knee. Which the police go, no, absolutely not. Taking a knee? No way. For a white person? For a thing that actually happened? Never. Never. We do that for hateful, racist minorities that kill themselves with drugs. That's the only people we kneel for. Let's watch.
Shame, didn't it? I'm not gonna bad now when people do stuff like this, are you?
Disgusting! Huh? It's disgusting! Take the knee and pay your respect for Henry. Your officers assisted in that man's death. I've drove 4.5 hours to get you. You, him, and every police officer in the force. Your left ideology is walking and is ruining the country. We're sick of it. It's disgusting.
All you do is just stand there.
You just stand there.
Say nothing.
You're horrible. You're vile. You don't care.
Why did you say so?
Look at all of these people who are come to show their respect for Henry. Sweep under the carpet like Labour government always do. Keir Starmer should have been gone by now. You don't care. He brushes it all off. Muppets,
What are you going to do? Put me in cuffs and kill me, yeah? Is that what you're going to do, yeah?
They won't do, mate. They won't do, mate.
I think that you're bad now. You put the bad children in that, don't you? You're a scumbag, mate. Scumbag. That's what you are. Scumbag.
Tell them, lad.
The whole Hampshire Police Force. Scumbag.
There he is, lad.
There you go. I love those guys. And I stand corrected as a black dude there standing up, which is the point I'm making, right? It's like, it is weird. It's weird that you almost only ever see white people at protests like this. Do you got to be white to want to protest the police handcuffing a stabbing victim while he bleeds out? Is that a white, that's a white thing? That's an aspect of white culture? Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, and it is just one of the baffling things about all of this, which is like, how is nobody on our side? It's crazy. So we're on everybody's side. Look at the Black Lives Matter protests. 90% of them were white people coming out. Now, it's a bad thing because what they're coming out to support or what they're coming out to protest didn't exist, and what they're coming out to support was the systematic dismantling of their entire country, their heritage, their safety, and public life. So they're stupid, but I still think it's admirable that people go out and protest, discrimination or some sort of oppression, even if they're not the ones feeling it. Even if you're not the one subject to it, you should still be against oppression. Even if you're not the ones who are the victim of senseless, random violence against innocence, you should still be able to empathize with the victims, right? We don't see that very often, unfortunately. You see more often the collective protection of even the worst in these minority communities, which is a problem that compounds all the other problems. Let's go now to clip number 42. This is from Grift Report on X. And this is just a few minutes ago, I understand, maybe an hour ago. But as the sun goes down, You have Polish lads. Now, apparently, Nowak was also Polish. I'm not sure if he was an immigrant or if his parents were immigrants, but I saw people going, well, you know, Nowak was also an immigrant, so really, you're just mad about this because of race. It's like, first of all, okay, and he was targeted because of his race. Why wouldn't we make it about race? He was murdered because of his race. That's obvious. I'll show you the 999 call here in just a second. Let's go to this clip now. These are the, I guess, Polish people in UK fighting the police. Let's watch.
No. Here with the shields again. Watch out, Bob, yeah, because this one's a bit trigger happy. No, not this one. This one's trigger happy. Yeah? This, not this one. Yeah. I've got my press pass as well, like, you know? Pardon?
So they're standing off in you know, sort of a standoff against the police, but there's the police attacking the guys, and the guys start attacking back. Yeah, I don't know. If I was the police, I'm not sure if I would want to start that. I think I would be waiting for them to start things. These guys are a lot bigger than the police. These guys look like they're a lot more rough and tumble than the police are. But yeah, we should be arming these people. I mean, we should be running guns to these people. We should be running guns to the people of the UK and Ireland just like we ran guns to the people of Syria. Because, well, you know, once again, just like every other situation we're describing, situation in Syria wasn't actually what was described, but was still used as justification to send them weapons. Here we have an instance of just the most egregious example of a government being against its own people, attacking and imprisoning its own people. I mean, I guarantee you the UK imprisons more people for speech crimes than Bashar al-Assad ever did. They imprison like 100 times more people than Russia per capita. They're the enslaved populace. They are the people who genuinely require somebody to deliver freedom to them, deliver democracy to them. Because while they might call themselves a democracy, the people of Britain have voted over and over and over to not have Muslim immigrants, and they just get more and more Muslim immigrants. So I don't think you're in a democracy, actually. I think you're in a tyranny that likes to pretend to be in a democracy to legitimize their tyranny. It's not that complicated. None of it's that complicated. Let's go now to the 999 call. I haven't actually listened to this, but this was just released while we were live today. So I want to hear it. The 999 call from Henry Nowak's murderer, Vikram Digwa, and his brother has been released. So this is Vikram's brother making the call to 999, which, yeah, I guess it makes sense because, like, you got to call the cops, right? They can't just have, like, the body of a dead kid found on their lawn the next day. That wouldn't look good for them. So they got to come up with a story. All right, we got to call 999. We got to get this, you know, taken care of. This kid I just murdered, we got to get him, taken out of here. Let's set it up to where they think that I'm the victim in all of this. And they thought they'd get away with this because they know how racist the UK police are. And they probably had a pretty good chance of getting away with it. Let's watch.
Sorry, we just got attacked racially by some white person.
Right, okay. Whereabouts are you?
We're on Belmont Road.
Just out in the street, are you?
Sorry?
You're just in the street?
Yeah, literally. I just parked up my car to come home and he's attacked my brother.
You're talking about verbally or physically?
No, he physically attacked my brother. We're Sikhs, we wear turban, and he's just attacked my brother.
Have any weapons been involved?
No. No. What did he say to you?
Oh, who do you think you are? Well, I was like, look, bro, you're drunk, carry on, walk on. Then I was there, he goes, oh, who do you think? I'm a bad man. I was like, oh, look, I'm a bad man. I'm
Jeffrey, what did he say? Was he racially abusive?
The police need a report. Come here. Yeah, he was. So basically, he stumbled into my brother.
Yeah.
So he stumbled. Do you want to speak to my brother?
No, you carry on. He stumbled into him, and then what did he do?
Okay. So he stumbled into you, and then what?
Yeah, so he walked into me, stumbled. He's drunk. I clearly said to him, look, mate, you're drunk. Carry on about your day. Do what you need to do.
And then what?
Then he goes to me, who do you think you are? Who do you think
you are? He goes, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to my brother? And then what?
And then he goes, oh, you're this, you're that. Who do you think you're a bad man? I was like, yeah, I'm a bad man. What? Then he starts recording me.
Right.
As he's recording me, I snatched his phone. He's then laid a punch onto me. He's pushed me back and my turban's come off. He started then grabbing my head. So I then grabbed him and then he started pushing me, attacking me even further and everything like that.
At the minute, now he's lying on the floor. He was trying to get away. He jumped over some bins and stuff on the other neighbor side. He jumped over the bins and tried to leave through the bin way. He's left a shoe here as well.
So he doesn't have any injuries?
He's hurt his face. I think he's fallen because when he tried to climb over the bin, he's fallen from the one side of the bins over the gates to the other side.
I think he needs medical attention.
Does he need medical attention, you reckon? He will, yeah, I believe, yeah.
Just to confirm, no one's seen any weapons?
No. I don't know what weapons it would be.
All right, so that's the brother of the murderer lying about the existence of a weapon, the knife that the mother had already collected and taken away to hide to cover it up. It was a family affair. Again, you could hear Henry, I guess, talking there, saying, who do you think you are? It's so crazy. Yeah, no, the guy tries to, like, act like he's a victim. He's like, yeah, my eye's sort of swollen here, you can tell. So, like, even that, why would you not go, yeah, he needs medical attention. I think he's really drunk. You know, he's, like, passing out, you know. They had a chance there to, at the very least, save the guy's life, right? No weapon at all. Not even sure what weapon there would be. By the way, I'm pretty sure he's still holding the knife in this footage. The murderer. There's the ghost white hand, already drained of blood, already immobile. Yeah. Brutal. So, yeah, I think the UK has a very, very good reason to protest and really to overthrow their government and to replace it with a government that actually cares about them and actually, even just bare minimum, pretends to care about them. That'd be a start, right? That'd be something. I just saw another post that I thought was extremely, extremely accurate, which again, it's just, you know, it's the same thing over and over, but it's like, you've got to actually do something about this. From Hugh Anthony at The Hugh Anthony on X, Jews get their own private ambulances and police force. Sikhs get to legally carry daggers. Blacks get their own specialized health care in the UK. Muslims get their own areas of government-funded buildings. What do white people get? Nothing. We get targeted by the system instead. Toadtown nationalists, knives are banned in Britain, unless you're part of the special brown guy knife religion, in which case, obviously, do whatever you want. And, like, yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the law. I guess that's it. You know, I saw a video today that was a woman, you know, clearly a leftist, and she's just gushing about the UK health system. And she's like, I came down with an infection while I was there, and I called, and 30 minutes later, I saw a doctor, and then I went and got my prescription, and I paid full price, and it was $9, and it was so amazing. Oh, my God. It's like, okay, first of all, that's what life is like in America if you have a job. That is also what happens. It's not exactly special. But yeah, I'm sure the NHS is really good at handing out average antibiotic, you know, prescriptions for everyday illnesses. You know, I would try. Yeah. And venereal diseases, by the way, which I'm pretty sure that she's like, we don't need to get into what it was. But, you know, I had a flare up and I needed some antibiotics. So, yeah, like if that's what the NHS was. You know, great. I bet they could do it. You know, you call a number in, you go, hey, I got a rash, and they'll send you rash cream. And what do you know? Problem solved. The problem actually arises when you have a deadly disease, when you severely hurt yourself. And suddenly, instead of a 30-minute call that works perfectly, you're sitting in the emergency room for 9 hours straight in agonizing pain, and then you die. I had one of the first reports I did, probably one of the first three reports I ever did at InfoWars, was called "Thanks for Using NHS, Sorry You Went Blind and Died." Because there was Matt just told me a stat here. The average wait time is roughly 3 months to see a doctor in the UK. Yeah, I'm not surprised. So apparently there's an 18-week standard, a constitutional 18-week standard to get you appearances. And then there's things like this. This story's from today. Newcastle student Libby Enstone, 20 years old, died in agony after hospital staff ignored her so they could watch the Women's World Cup. Folks, the Women's World Cup. Okay, that's how bad it is. A 20-year-old student died in agony after hospital staff allegedly ignored her to watch the Women's World Cup. Libby Enstone from Billingham Teesside died in August 2023 after three visits to an urgent care center where doctors repeatedly diagnosed her with gastroenteritis. The Newcastle University student, who wanted to become a barrister, lawyer, actually had a blocked intestine that could have been treated with surgery. Her mother, Susan Enstone, told an inquest that staff were preoccupied with the football on TV rather than caring for her daughter. Libby had been fit and healthy before returning from a trip to London with her boyfriend on August 16th when she began vomiting and experiencing severe pain. Her mother called 111 2 days later and brought her to North Tees Hospital Urgent Care Center, where she was prescribed anti-sickness medication without being examined. Her family returned that evening, and a doctor diagnosed gastroenteritis before placing her on a saline drip. She was discharged at 1:30 a.m., only to vomit black liquid in the car park. A female member of the staff then came up to me and told me that they had thought she was just a time waster, her mother said. Yeah, just a time waster. And you know what? I imagine they get a lot of time wasters. I imagine when you provide free health care to everybody for whatever, I bet they get a lot of people that come in with tummy aches. I bet they get a lot of people. And we heard this from hospitals here in the United States. We had callers call in, tell us that they worked in a hospital in Denver, and we're seeing daily dozens and dozens of illegal immigrants coming in for the most minor concerns. It was their doctor. And it was their, like, you know, daily pediatrician or, you know, whatever, everyday doctor. So if they had the sniffles, they got a cold, they just go to the emergency room. So, well, you know, emergency rooms are supposed to be for, like, catastrophic things, for things that you can't make an appointment for. Instead, you're sitting there with a broken leg while, you know, whoever from Guatemala is there getting a prescription for whatever disease he brought with him. So, yeah, I bet they do get a lot of time wasters. I bet they get a lot of people who just go to the hospital when they don't need to, because they can, because it doesn't cost them anything. Just add that. Add that to the number of problems compounding up on top of one another. Which, and I don't even understand this. So they let her out at 1:30 a.m. She vomits black liquid in the parking lot. A woman comes up to her and is like, oh, we just thought she was wasting time. But then it says they brought Libby back to the urgent care center at 2:30 p.m. So I guess she still went home. She was totally exhausted and very weak. After speaking with staff, they decided to take her to A&E, which is ER, to the emergency room, where they waited as many as 9 hours to be seen. Her parents visited the ward the following day and claimed staff were watching a Women's World Cup penalty shootout on television. Libby was later allowed to go home but continued feeling unwell. She said she was scared and asked if she was going to die, her mother told the inquest. I laughed. I told her not to be daft. Minutes later, Libby collapsed and paramedics were called, but she could not be saved. An independent medical expert found Libby had been unable to open her bowels for several days, which should have alerted doctors that she did not have gastroenteritis, as diarrhea is a typical symptom. The report concluded that multiple opportunities were missed to scan her stomach, and surgery could have successfully treated her condition. Dr. Michael Stewart, Group Chief Medical Officer for the NHS Trust, offered an unreserved and sincere apology for the missed opportunities in Libby's care. Coroner Claire Bailey said the hospital's failure to consider anything other than gastroenteritis amounts to gross failures in her care. The coroner accepted that procedures have since improved at the trust. Like, what do you say about a country so thoroughly dysfunctional? What do you say about a country whose NHS routinely kills people with easily solvable problems, that is so, you know, overburdened that people have to wait 18 weeks in some cases to even see a doctor in the first place, and yet it's upheld as the single most impressive and well-functioning program in the entire British government. And yet it is borne down by literally millions of foreigners who have never paid into it once and yet use it as their, you know, everyday doctor about whatever the hell they want. What do you do about a country who has a national healthcare system that just kills the people that it treats, who have a police force that arrests the victims of the crimes rather than the perpetrators, of an immigration force that welcomes in hundreds and hundreds of hostile adult male foreigners on a daily basis, that just got rid of jury trials and just abolished the House of Lords and is just systematically destroying every part of that society that hasn't already been thoroughly destroyed by this point? What do you do? What do you say? What is the solution to this? The solution has to be a wholesale, complete, comprehensive destruction of the system and a rebuilding of a new one. It has to be. You cannot tell me there's a better way. Unless, no, see, I don't even think, because I genuinely don't think that there's any hope for the UK outside of civil war. Because I was going to moderate, and I was going to say, well, Restore actually seems to take this stuff seriously and actually seems to want to do the things that, you know, they want to do, but that's what Brexit was like, too. They won Brexit. Nothing changed. Why should anything change this time? And tell you what, if it does change, if they do get Rupert Lowe in, if Restore does take over Parliament and they implement mass deportation measures, do you think they'll go quietly? Do you think the people in the UK will bow their heads and obey? Or do you think they'll fight back with all of the weapons that they have stashed in their mosques? I think the UK needs to be ready to fight one way or another. And that's just
then at midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars. And InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat. If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.